Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Hey, welcome to Revitalize and Replant. I'm Mark Clifton. I'm here with Mark Halleck today.
Hey.
And we do take this show on the road from time to time, and we're in Inglewood, Colorado right now.
Yes.
And we would come to your house if you would put us up for the night.
Totally.
And give us a meal.
Absolutely. Nobody's taken us up on it yet.
No, drop us a line at replant@nam.net. And no, seriously, call us.
It'd be a blast. It is a beautiful day in Colorado.
We are in Colorado. And the sun is shining.
Sun is shining.
And there's snow on the mountains.
It's beautiful.
But the temperature down here is warm.
It's warm.
We got
at our house, I think we got 2 feet of snow this week.
2 feet?
2 feet.
By the way, we're doing these podcasts in March.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Two feet across the board. That was the average in the Denver area. I mean, this is a lot of snow, but here's what's cool. I think a lot of people think in Denver, it's like we're just slaughtered with snow all winter.
Yeah.
The truth is, the mountains are.
Right.
But we get a few storms.
Yeah.
But because it's sunny 300 days a year, it melts really fast.
300 days
a year. Oh, yeah. It's sunny all the time. It's the best kept secret. And so the snow here is melting very quickly. So you've got beautiful blue sky. It's warm. I mean, you could wear shorts today. And yet
I'm only wearing one short.
I know. I was going to say.
The other pant leg is long. The right pant leg is short.
We need to get you some Hawaiian. I bet you wore some good Hawaiian shorts.
I used to wear
Hawaiian.
I went through a actually, Rick Warren got it for me.
The Rick Warren?
He got it from me. I was doing church planting west of the Mississippi for the Old Home Mission Board in the early 80s and had lunch day with Rick Warren one day, and I was wearing a Hawaiian shirt. And he goes, dude, that looks great.
Like, I'm going to steal that.
You ought to try it. And the rest is history. So that's the way it goes.
That's right.
I used to wear Hawaiian shirts. But, I'm a big guy, right?
And you can pull it off.
Well, you can pull it off, but you don't need to draw attention to yourself if you're as big as I am. I mean, come on. I mean, you try to wear dark colors, like Stetzer. He always wears a black blazer.
Always black.
Always
that's
a black
true.
Blazer.
Always.
Because we know that slims you down.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, we're in deep trouble.
Okay.
We're going to switch gears majorly here. I know you listened because you saw the topic, and the topic is serious. It is important. It's called anxiety. And Halleck, so many pastors, so many pastors' wives, so many church members struggle deeply with anxiety.
Yeah,
I remember being in a meeting at Southern Seminary. I was preaching, and there was a question and answer time afterward, and a young pastor got up, and he was very emotional, and he said, I'm in a revitalization situation, and it's hard, but God's doing some good work. But he began to be very choked up, and he said, but my wife, she struggles with depression and anxiety, and she just can't seem to continue this anymore. You know, what do I do? Mm. And I've heard that from other pastors' wives. And then some I've heard from pastors. I can't get up in the morning. I can't keep doing this, you know? And in all openness, people who've listened to me know that I struggle with depression and anxiety.
Yeah.
Almost on a weekly basis.
Yeah, yeah.
I know I sound all chipper and all that,
but
there are times when I am really struggling with it. And
well, if anyone knows me, they know that I've battled anxiety my whole life.
Okay.
From the time I had panic attacks starting in third grade.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And that could be a whole other conversation, but it was before anybody knew, was talking about anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
So that's been my thorn. When people say, what's your thorn? It's been anxiety my whole life.
Well, Eddie Davis makes it clear in his book, Revitalize, he has a chapter on depression. I do believe and agree with him that depression, anxiety is Satan's number one tool he uses against pastors. Mm-hmm. If you have a moral failure as a pastor, generally you've been depressed before that, right?
Boy, that's so
true. You found yourself in some sort of role like that. It was that, or your family, or people in your church struggle with it. And man, this side of heaven, it's just going to be there. And it's not new. Remember when Elisha on Mount Carmel, that great day on Mount Carmel? Oh, what a great day, right? And then he comes down off Mount Carmel and Jezebel's after him. And what's he do?
That's right.
He runs to a cave. But he doesn't just run to a cave, Mark. He releases his servant. And you release your servant when you're done being a prophet. So I think he quit, right?
He got threw in the towel.
He got so depressed, he quit. And we could go on other men in the Bible like that.
Sure.
Many of them. Not a few of them.
Yep.
Many of them. And men like Judson, who dug his own grave behind his hut one time.
Right.
A Martin Luther, who quit preaching for 15 months.
Yes.
Spurgeon, who constantly dealt with it.
Oh, man.
Guys, I'm telling you, ladies.
Lloyd-Jones, his book, Spiritual Depression.
Spiritual Depression.
Yeah.
it is very much a Satan's attack. So we have to confront it and deal with it. And, you know, I never thought I would know a pastor personally who took his own life, but you and I both know of those who have.
Yeah.
And it's just, and children of pastors, of pastors' children, pastors' spouses who've done that.
That's right.
So we want to draw your attention to a wonderful article from the Gospel Coalition by Beth Klass entitled Four Comforts for Anxious Christians. Mm. Four Comforts for Anxious Christians. The first thing she says here, Mark, is the real evidence of spiritual maturity is not found in the absence of mental health, but instead it's found, it's not found in the absence of mental health struggles, but instead it's found in how we respond to them.
Yeah.
So the absence is not found in the, the real spirituality is not found in the absence mental health struggles, but how you respond to mental health struggles.
Yeah, that's right. And she lists four things. And the first thing is so good, and we've got to come back to this over and over again, is we're not alone. We're not alone. And here's the thing about if you battle anxiety or depression, which, by the way, are really two sides of a similar coin. And that's why they're so often, if you battle anxiety, you'll find yourself in the pits of despair and depression.
That's
if you're
right.
in depression, you will find yourself battling with anxiety on some level. But both of those lead us toward isolation and discouragement and deep despair and what I just call the pit.
Yep.
Where we can feel like everything in us, we feel like we are all alone and we've been abandoned, whether that's alone, that God has abandoned us, whether that's our friends have abandoned us. And there's this strange, in the darkness, in our sin, this strange comfort you can almost find in that dark place that's not healthy and it's not good. And that's where I think of, you know, throwing in the towel and you just go, you know what? I'm just going to lay in bed for...
Well, it's what Elijah did.
It's what Elijah did. Exactly.
He threw in the towel, went and got into a dark cave.
Went to the cave.
And believe me, if you've been anxious and depressed, the one thing you want to do is lay in bed with the covers over your head.
Oh, totally.
Or sleep.
That's all you want to do.
That's all you want to do.
Yep.
You just don't want to wake up.
Yep.
And you can't sleep sometimes at night.
Yeah.
But then you find yourself sleeping in the day.
Right. Because
you didn't sleep at night.
And then you feel guilty sleeping in the day. Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely.
It's vicious.
That sense of being alone and isolated, nobody knows what I'm going through, nobody. And I don't want to share with my spouse because I don't want them thinking I'm weak. I don't want to dump on them my problems. I don't want my kids seeing this. I certainly don't want my deacons to see it.
Mm.
I don't want my church. I can't let my staff see it.
Yeah.
And so you take care of it. You kind of do it all on your own.
Right.
And you try to bring it all to yourself. And it's that sense of isolation, that sense of loneliness, it's all over the place. You know, when Jesus, though, showed up to John on the island of Patmos, and John saw the resurrected Christ, he had eyes of fire.
Mm.
And would it be a podcast if I didn't quote Blackaby? Probably not.
Probably not.
And Henry Blackaby said, eyes of fire means Jesus sees everything.
Mm.
Wow. He sees everything. He knows every hurt you have.
Yep.
He knows everybody who's ever wounded you. He knows every problem in your life. He knows more problems in your church than you know. You think you're alone and nobody knows. Jesus has eyes of fire. He sees it all.
Wow. Amen.
And that's an important thing to know. You're not alone in this.
You're not alone.
First, you're not alone because you're not the only one going through it.
Yeah. Which is why we're doing this podcast episode.
And secondly, you're not alone because Jesus sees it all.
Jesus sees it all.
And he's with you in all of it.
That's so good.
And I don't know if this is theologically correct or not. And if I have to ask, then it's probably not. Okay?
Let's see where this goes.
Yeah. In fact, I heard Piper one time say something that basically would say it's probably not theologically correct. But I was going through a season in my life that was at the absolute lowest ebb I've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Dangerously low.
Yeah.
I'm still a pastor, still a denominational dude, but dangerously low. And I couldn't sleep at night. And I had a friend of mine say, I want you to take a chair and I want you to put it right by your bed. And I want you to realize that the Holy Spirit is never going to leave you or forsake you.
Mm.
And the Lord is always with you. And he said, I just want you, when you can't sleep at night, I want you to look at that chair and I want you to know that the Lord's in that chair.
The Lord's with you.
He's sitting there right by your bed.
Mm.
And I got to tell you, that helped me.
That comforted you.
That comforted me. Now, again, I don't know
the
theological implications of projecting that, but it helped me. helped me give a physical reality.
It was a reminder that
the Lord is with me. Yeah. He's sitting right there on that chair. I am not alone.
Yeah.
And I would say if that helps
man.
You,
oh, man. That's good. Yeah, and that's right. Well, this leads to number two, which is we're united to Christ. And she says this, this is good. So we're not alone. Number two, we're united to Christ. When we identify with Christ, we must reflect on him as our replacement. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, God made him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And then she says this, consider this for a moment. Through faith, Christ becomes our righteousness. Depression and anxiety can discourage us and compel us to form an identity around our fear or hopelessness. Mm. I can easily forget that sin is my biggest problem and Christ has already redeemed me from its power.
Mm-hmm.
Since God already did this, how can I not also trust him with my other struggles?
That's so true.
Isn't that good?
I have a new identity. My identity is not my depression and my discouragement and my anxiety.
That's right.
My identity is in Christ.
Amen.
And I can find my joy and my completeness in him. Again, sometimes we just feel like we're worthless. If you're anxious and depressed, you feel worthless.
Yeah, you do.
You totally do.
And you can so easily start to carve out an identity in those
yes,
things.
And then it's self-fulfilling.
That's right.
Because then you behave worthlessly.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's when you make stupid moral decisions.
Yes.
Because you feel like you're worthless anyway.
Yeah, who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah, that's right.
And she is so spot on when she talks about that we are united with Christ. And man, I no longer live in this life, but the life I now live, I live
Amen.
And through Christ who loved
That's
me
right.
and gave himself for me.
That's right.
And how do you do that? Well, you do that by quoting scripture to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that by, I think, listening to good music.
Yeah.
Music.
What are you filling your mind with?
What are you filling your mind with? I think Christian music, gospel-drenched music mm-hmm. that really reminds you who Jesus is and his sustenance and his greatness and all of those things. I think just putting your headphones on and listening to that, even when you don't feel like it.
Right.
Man, it's important.
Amen.
And quoting scripture is important.
That's
and I know
right.
you don't feel like doing it, but it's important to do.
Yeah.
And in a sense, you have to battle for your joy and battle for your family and battle for your church. And that's how you battle for it, by opening God's word and reading scripture,
that's
by
right.
listening to those kinds of Christian
that's
songs
right.
that really speak to you, those hymns and gospel-drenched songs that speak to you and remind you you're not alone. Mm. You are in Christ.
Amen.
He is your great captain.
That's right.
He's your leader. He's not going to leave you or forsake you.
That's right.
He'll carry you.
Yes. Amen. I was just meeting with a lady from our church who's been battling deep depression for several months. And she said to me, she said, Mark, I don't even have the strength to open my Bible.
I know.
And so here's what I told her. I said, can you listen to it though?
There you go.
Can you listen to
it?
And she just shared with me this last Sunday, actually yesterday, she's been listening to the Bible, laying down, and she's like, it's incredible. It's like, I have the strength to listen and just let the word being read over my soul and my mind. And so maybe that's where you're at.
It can be.
But that we need the truth of the word, the gospel, really kind of, you know, raining down over us in these times.
When we are in the depths of this anxiety and depression, people say, well, you need to exercise. You need to eat right. You need to go see your doctor.
Yeah.
Dude, I can't even get out of bed.
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
I'm not going to
want to do those things.
How do I
but,
go to the store and buy the right food?
Yeah.
How do I call my doctor and make an appointment for a week from next Thursday?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even get out of I don't even I can't even think about tomorrow. I can't think about this afternoon. I mean, you have no energy to do anything.
Yeah.
It's just been zapped from you.
Yep.
And so I do believe that, you know, Jesus did say in John 15, as we talked about in another podcast, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you know, if we abide in Jesus, we will find the strength we need
Amen.
To do those things.
That's true.
So how do we abide? I agree. When you don't even have the energy to read the scripture, listen to the scripture. That's why I think music, gospel-drenched music
totally.
Is so important.
Yep.
Or just have people pray for you.
Yeah.
Just say, just ask your wife or your husband, hey, I'm struggling right now. Will you just put your hands on my shoulder and pray for me by name? I mean,
you know,
something like that.
Oh, man, I remember hearing the story about Billy Graham nearing his death. And the thing he would ask people, his family members, is just to read the Bible. Just read scripture to me. And I think, boy, maybe that's where you're at.
Yeah.
Maybe your spouse can just read scripture to you. Whatever that might be.
In all transparency,
My
wife has done that for me.
Mm. And
she
how helpful was that?
Unbelievably.
Incredibly helpful. Yeah.
Unbelievably. Yeah. That's she, so awesome. She has actually done that for me.
Wow. Okay. So number one, we're not alone. Number two, we're united to Christ. Number three, we're part of a greater redemptive story. And here's what she says. The biblical narrative shows us how to view our trials and suffering.
Mm.
Our fears matter deeply to God, but they're not the whole story. In fact, the challenges I've faced have revealed how inclined I am towards self-reliance. God is planning something much bigger than just fixing the problem as I see it. Instead, he's using my trials to change me.
And that's what Spurgeon came to realize depths of his depression. It has to be for a reason.
Mm.
He would say, a loving father who could remove this kind of pain from a child and not do it would be abusive unless it was for a reason. There's a purpose in it.
Listen, you've got no hope if you don't believe that God has a purpose in this.
Exactly.
You know, and he does. And that's Romans 8.
That's Romans 8.
Do you believe that all things work together for the good of
and
those?
Do you believe that when you get to heaven, you will see how God used these dark moments in your life in a very unique way to draw the men and women to the kingdom, to glorify himself in redemptive history?
Yes.
None of it's wasted.
That's right.
None of it's wasted. None of your pain is wasted.
Yes.
And I think it's important for us to know, because we feel like this is pointless. And like, well, no, God's doing something in you that you can't even see right now.
Yeah, that's right.
And remember when Paul said in the 2 Corinthians, we don't want you to be unaware, brethren, of what we face in Asia, for we thought we were under the penalty of death.
Yep.
But this was so that we would no longer trust in ourselves, but in God who raised Jesus from the dead. In other words, the point of my sorrow was to move me from trusting in myself to trusting once again in God.
In God.
And right. I will say to you, some of the closest times I've ever had in my life, and you can say this too, have been times of my greatest anxiety and discouragement.
Without question.
But those have been the closest, sweetest times with Jesus.
Without question.
Yeah.
The last one is this, and you were kind of segueing into it, but is number four, we have the hope of eternity. The Apostle Paul reminds us in his letter to the Corinthians, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal.
And you know, one of the things we can be grateful for Piper to, you know, really focus on is Christian hedonism.
Yeah.
And basically saying wanting pleasure in eternity is not bad.
No.
God gave us that
desire.
We're
made for it.
We're made for it. And so to say, it may be painful right now, but one day, my pleasure is going to go off the meter.
Yeah,
I mean, it's going to be, and that day's not today.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I get through today knowing that that day is a certainty.
It's coming.
Right? So I get through this with the hope of future glory, the hope of future pleasure.
Yes, yes.
But this is not all there is, right?
Amen.
It's a little bit like going through a surgery and go, this is going to hurt right now, but when it's done, you're going to be healed and you're going to be better than you ever were. And so I think you do have to preach that to yourself and realize we're not just looking for the end of suffering in eternal life with the Lord in heaven. We're looking for pleasure beyond anything we could ever imagine.
Eternal joy.
That's coming our way.
That's coming.
It's given to us.
That's right. That's right. So friends, four ways, I think this is so good, four comforts for anxious Christians. Number one, remembering we're not alone. Number two, we're united to Christ. Number three, we're part of a greater redemptive story. And number four, we have the hope of eternity.
And as she said so wonderfully in that opening statement, the real evidence of spiritual maturity is not found in the absence of mental health struggles, but instead how we respond to them. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this has been helpful to you. If you need some help with this, reach out to somebody, anybody, your state convention, your association, the local pastor, us.
Yep.
Anybody.
That's right.
And we'll talk with you and pray with you. Don't go through this alone.
Amen.
Hey, check us out at churchreplanters.com. Subscribe to this podcast. We would deeply appreciate it. And we'll see you again next time.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.